You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's the Dan Patrick Show, brought to you by Mercedes AMG Driving Performance, alongside Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Happy New Year to you. Cannot wait to get to turn the clock over to 2021. You know, all the dumb New Year's jokes even don't even work anymore. Man, I just got used to writing 2020 on my checks. Who writes checks anymore?
Nobody writes checks, and I'm with you. I've never been a part. 2020 was supposed to, you know, the whole number. 2020, you know, like it had like this feeling to it. Yeah, it really did. 2020, I just thought a lot of people got married, wanted to get married on 2020, 2020, you know, and all kinds of stuff like that. But what a horrible year. I'm ready to turn the page.
It hasn't been a good year. I don't know if it's been a
horrible year.
Horrible?
Yeah, horrible.
I mean, just you have your health, right? You're healthy?
Yes, thank God. Thank
everybody
God.
Around you healthy?
Yeah, everybody's pretty good. But, you know, I did lose my sister this year.
I didn't know that. That's right. I did. Okay.
You do. I knew Broussard had
his family's had a bunch of health problems with it, too.
He lost his father-in-law this year. You know what I mean? Like, there's been some stuff that just
do we blame the year? Like, what the year's like sitting there like, hey, dude, it's not my fault. This stuff happened to fall in my calendar.
No, I get it, but it's just, you know, like for you just think about it. And then, you know, I look at Facebook and I just see.
Don't do it.
I know. I just see the stuff and I'm like, oh my God.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, it really is, Doug. And it just shakes you up. But I'm an optimistic guy. I really am. I'm happy about moving forward in 2021 and, you know, what we got going on at Fox Sports Radio. We have a great team, Doug. For real, put together and what we're doing, I'm happy about that. I'm happy to be here. I am, and happy to be doing radio for Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, look, I'm super, super excited. Super excited for I what I enjoy is that there's not a show, and we have a great diversity of shows. And when people say diversity, you ought to think like, well, yeah, it's about people of color and men and women.
No.
I just think we have shows from all over the country with all different perspectives and all different styles, right? Like, if you're listening to Fox Sports Radio, you know, you just listen to Clay Travis and he's got Animal Thunderdome.
Right.
And you're like, wait, what? What? In the Dan Patrick Show, and Dan's an absolute legend, and his way of kind of doing it with the Danettes is unique. And then into Colin, into my show, Straight Out of Vegas is like the first and only like all betting 1 hour hardcore Vegas show, into you and Broussard yelling at each other, which is hilarious. Like, I'm sitting there just crying.
And Chris and I, you know, we're friends. And,
of course.
And
of course,
we have been for 25 years. Yes. That's what
it's so funny. It's interesting. So my son and I last night, I'm on this stretch here. He's kicking my ass at Madden. I mean, it's really bad.
Like, wow.
I kind of, you know, with 2K, he was never very good at it. And so I let him take the Lakers and I would take bad teams. And he started crushing me with these bad teams. So I was like, all right, I'll play the Warriors. And I beat him as the Warriors. And 2K is different now than it was when I last was kind of into it. Been a couple years since I really kind of got into it. So it took me a while. But my point was more... then we get to Madden, and I'd always destroyed him in Madden. And he's back there, you know, when he's got school at home, you know, when he's got time, he's on the video games, he's playing it. I mean, he's destroyed me. Like, turn off the game at halftime bad. So we're talking trash to each other last night, and I was like, look, this is how it, like, your friends, you're going to talk, like, that's how dudes, my friends, that's how we roll.
But some people, you know, like, they're like, oh, my God, they're going at it. And we'll go at it on topics because we're both passionate. We've both been doing this a long time. I met Chris Broussard at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention in 1992. Guess who else I met there? Stephen A., who was Steve Smith back then in 1992. I met those guys. That's how long of a tie, you know what I mean, that I've had with these guys. And to work with Chris... the last 2.5 years has been great. It's just been fun.
This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL?
You know, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Who else? Josh Allen's played great this year. I'm just off the top of my head, so I know I'm gonna miss people, and people are gonna say, "What about this guy? What about that guy?"
I know you're not big on Tom Brady at this point in time in his career. Fair?
No, I mean, there's a reason he didn't make the Pro Bowl with all the weapons that they have, and even the stats that they put up. You will admit that it's been kind of inconsistent, and he didn't play that well against some of the better teams. That's why
I would agree. I would say that if we were my thing with the Tom Brady in Tampa is I think it's a bad fit. It's a bad fit considering his style the last 10 years, but it's especially a bad fit when you're 43 and now you're going to be asked to throw the ball deep downfield, which is something he hasn't done since he had Randy Moss, right?
Exactly.
And I think he's been working through that and trying to fix that, and it has gotten better. Look, if we go through it. Are you an Aaron Rodgers or a Pat Mahomes or a Josh Allen guy for MVP?
I think it's Aaron Rodgers. And when I look at what he was able to accomplish, first of all, he leads in touchdowns, fewest interceptions, quarterback rating. And the other thing, too, 3 games without Devontae Adams, 3 games without Aaron Jones. He doesn't have nearly the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has. And to put up the numbers, and then when I saw what he did against the Titans, right, everybody said that's the team the Packers can't beat. They run the football, blah, 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 blah. They kicked them in the face. It was 40-14 playing up in Green Bay. Aaron made it look easy, even in the snow, Doug. I've watched football for a long time, started covering the league back in 1986 at the Daily News in New York. I covered the Giants and Jets, and I'm going to tell you, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. I'm not talking about most accomplished. Just yes. Throwing the football and being able to maneuver. Am I right, Doug? You've watched him. I mean, I've never seen anybody.
Well, no, I've long said that, right? And then when Brady won his last Super Bowl, I was like, man. Here's the thing, and is at the end of the day, we keep score in sports because that's what really matters. Right, that's what really matters is what the score is. When you play to win, and
you know what I always say. My famous saying is, "Sports has a short menu: wins and losses, Doug. That's all there is."
Okay, so with that in mind, how big of a factor is wins and losses in your mind in determining how good a quarterback is?
I think it has something to do with it because I get it. Some teams are in a situation where defenses aren't as good or they don't have the best coach and game plan. So I get there's a lot of things. I think quarterbacks get too much credit when teams win and too much blame when they lose. And there's a whole lot of stuff, you know this, that goes into football. But winning is important. And at some point, it's like the Matthew Stafford thing in Detroit. I mean, let's just be honest. He was the number one pick. He has a big arm, Doug, right? He's put up unbelievable. He's put up Hall of Fame stats. He has. I call him Stat Padford because most of the stats come after the Lions are down 21-0 and defenses relax and he piles up these numbers. But he's beaten like 6 or 7 teams that finished over 500 in a 12-year stretch, and they have no playoff wins. And this guy was the first overall pick. People say, oh, they don't have any players in Detroit. Well, Calvin Johnson played in Detroit, and Ndamukong Suh played in Detroit. I can go on and on and on.
Okay,
and when you look at Stafford, I'm just saying he hadn't gotten the job done.
Okay, that's fair, right? Here would be my pushback. Do we think that Stafford has a well-run organization?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Now, Matt Stafford, before he got there, right, in the 3 seasons before he got there, they won 0-2-6 games. He gets there and they win, and he becomes a starter in 2011, and they win 10 games and they lose in the wild card. The next year was the year they won 4 games, and that was the year Calvin Johnson had the record setting year, right?
Yep.
He's been to the playoffs 3 times, and I will grant you, he's lost all 3 times. Okay. But they hadn't been in the playoffs in a decade before he got there. So while there's, it's inarguable that he hasn't been what Rodgers has been. What I mean, I said, like, Andrew Luck had Chuck Pagano, who was way over his head as a coach. We all kind of, we all know that. And he had Ryan Grigson, who's widely considered, if not the worst general manager in the history of the sport. He's in the conversation. And his worst year was like 9-7, right? So what I said the other day is, like, look, we talk about Deshaun Watson at times as if he's one of these top five dudes. And I love Deshaun Watson. I think he's tough. I think he's smart. I love the persona. I love what he did at Clemson. You know, he got cleated in the eye once last year and still made a touchdown pass. He had a lung that had been, what's it called? When you have your lung deflated, and collapsed lung. And he had to take a van to Jacksonville, right? All that said, like, we put him in this uber elite class and he makes uber elite money and he was surrounded with all kinds of dudes and we freaked out over the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which I wouldn't have made, but I understand why it was made in large part so you could pay Deshaun Watson, right? And their franchise is almost exactly the same as it was before he got there. In the 4 years before he got there, they were 28-31. The franchise has virtually the same record. The franchise, the 4 years before he got there, was 1-2 in the playoffs, and they're 1-2 in the playoffs since he got there. So you tell me, as opposed to Rodgers and Breeze and Brady, and you pick the Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, which is what top five guys are, and when they're there, there's a dramatic difference in the franchise than before they're there.
No, I get it. At some point, you have to ante up. I agree with that. I can't sit here. It's not that he's not a dynamic player. He hasn't been able to elevate or move it forward. And that is exactly the same thing. Just to get back to Stafford for a minute, you know, you talk about there were moments, Doug, and I don't know if you remember this, where Green Bay came to Detroit for the last game of the season or maybe the next to last, and all the Lions had to do was beat the Packers. They had a good team that year, a few years back. Beat the Packers at home. They would have won the division, which they've never done, and they would have gotten a bye to start the playoffs and had a home playoff game, right? They would have had a home playoff game. And they get demolished, you know what I mean? Like, in that moment, there are moments, even when they lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs. Yes, there was a bad call in that game. Stafford gets the ball back with 2.5 minutes to go and 2 timeouts. There's your moment, Doug. You know, you can look at the bad general manager, the bad players, the bad, you know, the bad history, one playoff win since 1957. You can look at all of that. Matthew Stafford had a chance right there to change the franchise, to make something happen that hadn't happened. And in both of those situations, it didn't happen. He didn't do it. So that's okay, I look at people.
So now this does go counter, though, to your Tom Brady argument, right? Because Tom Brady, you can say whatever you want to say about a drop ball or a catch, whatever, but the dude has been to 9 Super Bowls.
But 9. The only thing, Doug,
he won
I'll push
six
back.
Of them. He had an undefeated regular season.
The first Super Bowl. The first Super Bowl that they won
wasn't
how
about
many
him.
Touchdowns?
I get it.
Okay,
no, it wasn't,
okay.
Wasn't
so
about
I'm glad
him. No, I was there. I was.
It
watching.
Wasn't. He
I
threw remember. One touchdown in the entire postseason.
He did have a big drive at the end of that game. But yes, I'm with you. That was for people who've forgotten. That was the first time that a team was introduced as a team. Forever, it had been you get to the Super Bowl and they introduce these offensive linemen and defensive linemen you'd never heard of before, right? So they introduced the St. Louis Rams, who were the greatest show on turf. And they introduced, you know,
an unbelievable
Kurt
team. They were double digit,
Isaac Bruce,
right? Favorites.
And Marshall Faulk. And I mean, we even knew their left tackle more than we knew most of the
that
guys.
That team was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And what the Patriots do? And now the New England Patriots, like, what? And they all come running out. It was about their team. And, yes, they hid him, right? They shield. It was a lot like Russell Wilson early in his career, where Russell Wilson
early on.
Would okay, so, but Like, dude, we're both saying that at the end of the day, it's about rising the level of everyone around you and finding a way to win games. That is, and that has always been my thing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, look, I think Aaron Rodgers is incredible. I've never seen anyone do what he can do. And he does it every different way in which you need. He can do it with his mind. He's done it clutch. He's done it on the road. He's done it in bad weather. He's done it in good weather. He's done it with good players, mostly with average players at wide receiver. He's not just a statue back there. He can throw on the run. He can run for a first down. Like, he does it. He's played hurt. Hell, they should have beat the Seahawks. He had a torn calf. And if not for the fact that the team simply couldn't field an onside kick and there's some miracle
right,
stuff.
It was that tight end. Jordy Nelson was right behind him. They told him on that
he's
kick.
Supposed to block. He's Jordy supposed to hit, Nelson. Block, not, yes.
Right. Yes. He wasn't supposed to catch the ball. He put his hand up. And gave coughed up the football. That was their Super Bowl they were supposed to go to, no doubt.
Right, but you're agreeing. Here's my problem, though. I like congruent arguments. You're agreeing with me on some level on Deshaun Watson, who we both think is super talented, but is not translating into the wins that it should, regardless of all the other factors going into it.
Right.
And the same thing about Stafford, but why won't you then credit Tom Brady for being the winningest quarterback of all time?
I give him as far as when it comes to accolades, but when I look at that Patriots team, Doug, the first three Super Bowls were about Adam Vinatieri, who had the greatest kicker they've ever seen in the NFL, and their defense. And you talked about it with the greatest show on turf that scored 13 points in that Super Bowl. And then if you – okay, so those are the first three Super Bowls, which were more about Adam Vinatieri and about Bill Belichick's defense. And when you look at the last three, I see total meltdowns. And it doesn't mean that Tom Brady didn't do what he was supposed to do when the door was open. But, Doug, you're at the one-yard line. You're Seattle with the best running back in the league and two downs to get in. Beast Mode had over 100 yards in that Super Bowl.
But hold on. But you're dismissing the fact that on the very previous drive, Brady had led his team down the field to score to take the lead. Right?
No, I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying, and Atlanta's up 28-3.
Yes.
They run the ball. I'm not even a football coach.
And he was terrible the first two and a half quarters. But they're down 28-3. He got the ball, and they started scoring against a really good athletic Atlanta defense that had gotten after him. Right? Like
the last Super Bowl against the Rams, how many touchdowns did Tom Brady have in that Super Bowl?
One more than
no, he had zero. He didn't have a touchdown.
Who cares? They won the game. Like, who cares? They won the game.
He had an interception and a fumble. I get it, but I'm just telling you, Tom Brady gets all the credit. They stopped the Rams team that was averaging 35 points a game. It was the fifth greatest offense in the history of the NFL, and Bill Belichick's defense stopped that Rams team. That's why they won that Super Bowl. It wasn't because of Tom Brady.
All right, listen, I'm with you in regards to people massively undervalue Belichick coaching, what he's been able to do. But here's what we'll do. Sean Merriman's going to join us next. Lights Out will join us next. We'll ask him, like, at some point, you got it. I mean, 9 Super Bowls.
No, I'm not. I didn't say that. All I'm saying is I'd rather
you
call Tom
the
Brady
luckiest quarterback of all time.
The luckiest of all time. More so than the GOAT. That's all.
He's Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Sean Merriman joins us next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes. And it's always fun for me to have Lights Out Sean Merriman on because now he's a great dude. He's got diverse interests. There's always something unique about him, right? Like Rob, where are you? Where in the let's give away some inside the Beltway secrets. Where are you right now?
I'm in my living room in West LA.
Okay. I'm in my bedroom in Newport Beach. Sean Merriman, where are you?
Guadalajara.
Why are you in Guadalajara?
Guadalajara.
Yeah. You know, I thought I'd get out for a little bit. I got some friends in town. Just maybe grab some dinner, then head out to Cancun right after. So, enjoying this little bit of free time I have.
What is it like in Guadalajara right now?
Shut down. It's fine. It's just for me, it's about, you know, whenever I get free time, I have to have a change of scenery, right? Because we've all been locked down there in Los Angeles for months. Right. And, you know, it's the same routine. It's wake up, gym, work, home. You know, it's the same routine. So for me, in order to keep any kind of sanity that I have left, I always go for a change of scenery.
I'm with you. I've been going to Vegas just even for one night just to get a change of scenery from L.A., and it's not too far, you know, and whatnot. But, Sean, so are you a world traveler? Where's the best place you've been? Just curious.
You know what? My favorite place in the world is probably south of France. I love, you know, Saint-Tropez a whole lot, man. I've been there probably about 7 or 8 times, and I just really enjoy going out there. I love the weather, especially when they got big events, and you got the big Formula One races that's out there, and it's, you know, the World Music Awards I've been to, you know, 3 times. So it's always a good time out there.
Best place you've ever been, Rob Parker?
I you know what? I've been, well, the Antarctica trip was fascinating, but it's Australia. When you get off the plane in Australia, you feel like you're in another world. It's a 14-hour nonstop flight from Los Angeles, and you feel literally, you know, they, you know, call it down under, but you feel like you're in another world. You're so far away from everything. And it's 14 hours over nothing but water to get there. It's incredible. And I'm planning a trip for next December to go again, because the first time I went, which was back in the 90s, I didn't get to go to the West Coast, Perth, and that part of Australia. So I'm going to go back and then go to the West Coast and check that out.
But okay, wait,
that's so, Rob, by the way, that's on my list next.
Yeah, you got to do it. Got to do it.
Australia is okay. So, but I guess here's a question, and we will get to sports, but this is way more interesting.
Yes.
This is way more interesting to me. How much time do you take off work to do that?
When I go coming up?
Yeah.
I'll take off. I'll only go for 9 days. I'll just go, you know, with 2 weekends wrapped around the week off. That's all I'll need to go. I'll rough it out. I don't need 2 or 3 weeks to go to make a trip like that. Even Antarctica was only like a 6-day trip or something like that. That's what it was, or about a week. That's all I need. I'm not trying to go for 3 weeks and all that and experience everything. I just want to go and see as much as I can while I'm alive. So that's the mode I'm in.
I saw so many things in my 20s playing basketball. And I literally haven't traveled much since. And I think travel is going to explode the second people get the vaccine. Don't you guys? Like the second you get a chance to say go, like I'm off. It'll remind me of, one time in high school. Okay. My college basketball coach, John McLeod's like, you should go run track. Keep that speed up. So I went to run track after my high school senior season, and I ran the 220. Right. And I remember being at the curve of the 220, and I was in first. And I was like, I'm out. I'm going. And then all of a sudden I get to the home stretch, and dudes boat raced me. But the point was that when that gun went off, I took off like a shot. And that's exactly, I mean, Sean, that's what you're going to do, right? The first chance somebody says you can go to France, you're off, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think everybody should, right? Because you always take that stuff for granted until they tell you you have to stay at home, you know? You know it's there. It's almost like you know, I'm not a beach person, right? I go to the beach once in a while. I'll stay maybe 25 or 30 minutes from there. I live, and I'll probably go to the beach a couple times a year. But all of a sudden, they tell you, hey, by the way, you got to stay home. And you're like, damn, I wish I could go to the beach right now, right?
Right.
So I think that's what's going to happen with everybody. And I know me for sure, every time I get a chance to go and travel, I'm out. But I think now more than ever, now that people were forced to stay home and they can't do certain things, you're right, man. I think they're going to take off and be gone.
All right, let's get to the other reason we're having you on is the NFL. Having played in the league and played at such a high level in the league, how much should we factor in wins and losses and put on the quarterback's shoulders?
Well, you know, this is the thing. You know, it's such a quarterback-driven league now. It wasn't always like that in the past, right? Even the times I played, you could have some great quarterbacks, but they didn't run the whole entire team. Now, in the way the game's changed over the last 10 years, you really started to got to look at the wins and losses being only on the quarterback's shoulders because they control everything. And they have so much power within, like, some of these great quarterbacks. Let's take Patrick Mahomes, for example. He has so much power within the organization that he controls it, right? I mean, he's the CEO of that organization. So the reason why I say it's you take the wins and losses on the quarterback's shoulders because if a wide receiver's not playing well, he's dropping balls, he's not running this route right, he's not doing certain things, you go upstairs, you say, hey, I don't want this guy here, or he shouldn't be starting. And guess what? That guy's not going to be starting. So you have to, you know, take everything with a grain of salt now and put more responsibility and more pressure on the quarterback because it really relies on how he plays and what he does.
Sean, how surprised are you that, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, that it appears Aaron Rodgers will win the MVP and the year that he put together? He still has one more game, 44 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, and the best quarterback rating. How surprised are you that he looks like he beat out Mahomes for MVP?
Not surprised at all. And I think the only people surprised is the Green Bay Packers. You know, like, right. You go out and you draft a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers had all the motivation this year to play extremely well. And I love it when a player has the ball in his court, right? Because you go out, you draft a guy, you basically telling Aaron Rodgers, like, hey, we're planning on moving on from you at some point. And now you go out and have one of the best years of his career. And I love that because now he go to organization and say, you know what, I'm out or else. So now he calls all the shots. He dictates his own future. If he wants to stay there, if he wants to go, however it wants to happen, because that's the message you send when you go out and you draft a quarterback as high as they did to eventually replace Aaron Rodgers well before his time is even up.
I want to just follow up real quick. How crazy is it to both of you guys that they've never drafted a skilled player in the first round during Aaron Rodgers' entire career in Green Bay? How crazy is that?
It's beyond crazy to me because look at the year, and don't get me wrong, to me, I think Davante Adams is probably top 2 or 3 wide receivers in the National Football League. So he came on as doing extraordinary things. But you didn't really give Aaron Rodgers a whole lot early on. I mean, they went out and got Mercedes Lewis, and they put a couple other pieces. But you didn't go out and get Antonio Brown. You didn't go out and get a big stud and say, hey, Aaron Rodgers, we're going to help you out some. You're talking about a guy who continuously – does things himself, and he's been doing it in that organization for so long, and that's why, and I want to bring it back to the point when I said, that's why I'm even more baffled that they go out and draft a guy that's behind him. You got all these other positions to fill, and you go out and draft the guy, and now he's had his best year, and now they're going to have a problem on their hands going forward, regardless of how Aaron Rodgers said it publicly, they're going to have a problem going forward because they're going to have to make some real decisions.
I could not disagree with you guys more. Couldn't disagree with you guys more. Like, look, Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old. Jordan Love is, everyone knows, he's a prospect. He's a project. He's 2 years away. And in 2 years, I mean, it's reasonable to think that Aaron Rodgers might not be the same quarterback. And you have to prepare for that day, especially if you're drafting in the 20s. When you have Aaron Rodgers, you're never going to be drafting in the top 15. Okay, you're just not. Okay, so you're not going to get, you'd have to move heaven and earth to move up to get a quarterback in the draft. And, like, look, Jordan Love is not what Aaron Rodgers was as a prospect, but this is how it worked where they went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, maybe to Jordan Love. And if it doesn't work, if Jordan Love isn't any good, as long as he never plays, nobody's ever going to know, and he'll retain some of that value. And, like, we can sit here and go, we don't love their wide receivers, or they need to, who'd they need to add? They won 13 games last year. They're going to win 13 games this year. They're going to have home field advantage throughout, and they believe in their evaluation, right? Like, look, there's
a
reason.
Doug, but Doug, the other, I hear that. The only thing is They got to the NFC Championship game last year and got annihilated.
Agreed.
So my only point is,
Should they have taken a defensive player because they couldn't stop the run? It's fair.
That's absolutely fair. That's the only thing that could help Aaron Rodgers this year.
You don't think they had, and then they just picked up, I know it's very late, they just picked up Snacks Harrison.
Right.
You know, and all he's got to, and it's just, can he stop the run in that one game? Which, by the way, against the Tennessee Titans, the team that runs the football, they showed they can stop the run this past weekend.
They kept Derrick Henry under 100 yards for the first time in 9 road games. Right.
Right. And I mean, and look, they drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round. People are like, why are you drafting a running back in the second round? Well, it's because, one, look at how well he played this weekend. Two, Aaron Jones' contract is up. He signed with Drew Rosenhaus. He wants to get paid. And everyone who covers the sport knows what you don't want to do is that big, long-term second running back contract or let somebody else pay that. And if he doesn't want to play ball and take a reasonable salary. So I think the Packers are setting themselves up to be competitive for the next 10 years, not just for 1 year. And, during this one year, they're the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, but I think you're speaking from the organization standpoint. But
yes.
I understand that part. But I'm also telling you that as a player,
you know,
you don't draft a guy that high. Now, if they seen a guy that's fifth or sixth or seventh round, and he got some talent, maybe Aaron Rodgers go down, he can step in for him and do something. That's fine. But you brought him in to say, you know what, we are going to be done with you soon. Right, I mean, if they want to sit a guy 1 or 2 years and they know he's going to come in and be a starter in 1 or 2 years because he has the talent to do so and you know your starting quarterback can't get it done, I understand completely from the organization standpoint. But to do what they did and expect Aaron Rodgers to go out there and play miraculously every single time, he's going to have a lot of pull and a lot of power here coming up here shortly, and the organization is going to have to make a decision because that doesn't sit well with players. Not just players, but anybody. If someone comes in your position, your job, and they hire somebody else.
They had just given him there's no getting rid of him for the next 2 years, right? Like Aaron Rodgers has 2 more years where financially it would cripple the franchise. They're not getting rid of him. He knows it, right? So I understand that on some level you could sit there and go.
Are you going to sit a guy for 4? Who drafts someone that high to sit him for 4 years? No one does that.
For 3 years. That's exactly what the Green Bay Packers did with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but they didn't move up. Like my only thing is they didn't move up to go get a quarterback at that point. Aaron Rodgers fell in their lap. And here's the other part. But you just went to the NFC Championship game.
Yes.
My point is, it's great that you've had Aaron Rodgers. It's great that he's going to have 3 MVPs. It's great that you won the NFC North all these times. But the Packers with Aaron Rodgers should have won more than 1 Super Bowl.
Okay, but we can't go back to what they did.
So I don't care about 3 years from now. They should have been thinking about, we have Aaron Rodgers.
We still have
a chance.
You do have a chance. And you look, a lot of people went crazy. You draft a wide receiver. Okay, the first thing is all the first round wide receivers were gone at that point in time. And by the way, 16 up until this year, and this year was a historically good wide receiver draft. Over the previous 4 years, the 19 first round draft picks that were drafted in the first round, 16 of them were busts. It's a really hard position because it's so different in the NFL than these spread offenses. Okay, secondly, if you want to tell me that they were close last year, I agree with you. And they had to get better. I agree with you. They have gotten better. And people go, you should draft a wide receiver. If you draft a wide receiver, that hurts the development of Marcus Valdes-Scantling and of some of these other guys who have developed. And those guys have gotten better. And the team they're the best team in the NFC. I don't know what people want, right? They're the best team in the NFC, and they protect. Watch the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Okay, look at Ben Roethlisberger. Look, I know he played really well Sunday. But what has everybody said? Man, Ben Roethlisberger looks shot. Looks shot. And you know what the Green Bay Packers don't want to be? They don't want to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, where at some point in time, Aaron Rodgers is going to lose it, and you want to have a guy there who's been studying, been preparing, who you can throw in, and there won't be this massive drop-off. That's what happened in New England when they drafted Garoppolo, and at some and this is to Sean, to your point, where Brady went in and goes, hey, man, him or me, and they sent Garoppolo packing, which could very well happen with Jordan Love. But again, the plan was smart, and that's what the Packers are executing.
But Doug, one thing about this, who can't get better when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback? You're talking about busts and these other, which one of these busts, a wide receiver that was drafted, had Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback? I just feel like over the last decade or so, you know, they've been relying on Aaron Rodgers so much to be Aaron Rodgers, to go out and do things on his own, that they're willing to risk and sacrifice doing anything bigger for the organization because everything is on him. Like I said, if they wanted to draft the guy in the fifth or sixth round or third round, you know, later on, and like Rob just said, fell in his lap, no problem. I understand
right.
that. But you do the things you're doing, you're saying that, hey, you fix this. And mind you, one of the main reasons why they drafted Aaron Rodgers is because he kept getting hurt. He kept having these injuries, you know, back-to-back. He never really finished the season healthy. That's one of the main factors they did it. So they're basically saying, hey, these injuries keep piling up, or whatever is going on, we're going to have a guy here to replace you. It backfired on them. And I'm not saying it backfired on them in a way of them winning. Obviously, they're a great team. But it's going to backfire on them at the end of the day.
Sean, enjoy Guadalajara.
Yes.
Have a happy new year. By the way, everybody
should happy download. Happy New Year, Scott. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive, man. Be responsible.
Yeah, and download the Lights Out podcast. It is excellent, and Sean knows so many people, not just from the MMA world, but from the clothing design world. I mean, the dude is a world traveler. It's outstanding.
I wouldn't mess with that guy. He's in the bare knuckle fighting. Can you imagine that?
That's the guy. That's the guy that you go. I'm with Sean. He's with
I'm
me.
With Sean. We're I'm hanging good. Out with Sean. Right.
Sean Merriman. Happy New Year to you, Sean. Sean Merriman joining us live from Guadalajara. That's my first guest from Guadalajara I've ever had. That's
very nice.
That's I can't remember the last time went on the long line to Guadalajara. Coming up next, Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. It's a win and in weekend for several teams in the NFL. Who's going to be on the outside looking in? Find out next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for Dan, the Danettes, the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, Rob, who's making the playoffs in the NFL? Let's just, we could do the whole setup of games, who's
yes.
making it and who's not making it.
I don't know. Can the Browns turn into the Browns and blow this with no Roethlisberger? They're 9.5-point favorites. They're playing at home. This should be a layup. Are they going to turn into the Browns, or are they going to win this, Doug? I don't know. I'm worried about it because they should have beat the Jets, and they had that awful game that put them in this spot. And can you imagine the Browns winning 10 games, right, and not making the playoffs because they lost the last two?
Yes, I can imagine it. I mean, like, look, they've been outscored by their opponents this year. There's a lot of – they've had some things that go bump in the night. I do think that that the most interesting part is they're going against a Pittsburgh team and Mason Rudolph, who – got into it with Myles Garrett last year, of course, and Myles Garrett said he dropped an N-bomb. No one else heard it. If I'm Mason Rudolph, like, there's no, I cannot imagine how furious he would be, how much he wants to win this game. And look, I know Mason Rudolph. I think he's a really good dude. I don't think he's a particularly good NFL quarterback, and he's not. One of the things that's always held him back is he doesn't have big hands. He doesn't play well in bad weather. I'm just fascinated by this game because I do think the Browns are actually a pretty good football team, especially in the offensive side of the ball. But you gotta wonder how this thing plays out. And then you have the Rams Niners, where go ahead.
Is the Rams and.
I mean, Rams and the Cardinals.
And Cardinals, right. Okay, go ahead. You threw me off.
You have the Rams are going to start. They're not going to have Cooper Kupp. and they're not going to add Jared Goff. They're going to start John Wofford, who...
Who?
So he led the AAF.
What is that? AFF. What was that? What is that?
That was the American Football Alliance, right? It was the American Alliance of Football, whatever it was called. It was the Spring right. League, and he was... And he's really... He's athletic within the confines of the pocket, but... Like, this is a Sean McVay special. McVay has never lost his coach to the Cardinals, regardless of who the coach is of the Cardinals. Kyler Murray is going to play while banged up, and they're not going to have their best wide receiver or their quarterback, the Rams. But, like, if you ask Rams fans, the number one thing that holds them back is their quarterback. So that thing's going to be interesting.
How about Kyler Murray? What happened, Doug? After he threw the Hail Murray and everybody was going crazy, right? They beat Buffalo. And even Cliff Kingsbury was like, oh, yeah, they should start alternating the MVP awards between Kyler Murray, do you remember that? And Patrick yeah. Mahomes every other year. And I was like, okay, that's prisoner of the moment. And then all of a sudden, they figure it out, Kyler Murray? I mean, like he was.
Well, supposedly he banged up his shoulder in that game. Right, or maybe it was the next game. He banged up his shoulder.
Okay,
their defense isn't very good. And look, they should have lost that game. Part of it is they should have lost that game.
Right.
But you know they and you look at their wins. The miracle win over Buffalo was great, but since then the only other two wins are Giants and Philadelphia. And yep. Philadelphia's you know, neither of those teams are good. Although one could go to the playoffs. They lose last week to San Francisco, who again playing with a backup quarterback. What's happened? Like I just regression toward the mean. And I think the Rams win this game. I just
do. You really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be a blow to Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray that some guys walking off the street. I know he was in that league or whatever. That league was amazing. They had so many big names attached to that, and they almost didn't make payroll, Doug, the second week. Do you remember that?
Well, it's because it's really really hard. Like. Football works in football's window. Basketball works in basketball's
yep,
window.
I agree with you.
It's just like there's a reason. There's a reason that the NBA wanted to get this thing done before you get to summer. It doesn't matter how good the playoff games are. Once you get to August, especially this August, everybody's going to travel. And even last August, you know, people just didn't watch. They're just not watching basketball. That's not what they do.
Right, because it's not natural. It's not what they're used to doing. I agree with that. I think the NBA thought. Remember they, even thought about moving the season and, oh, there's nothing going on in the summer. They could play in the summer. I don't think they're talking about that anymore.
No, they're not. Okay, so who? Well, next hour we'll discuss. We'll give our picks on the games, on what happens between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Speaking of the NBA, is it unwatchable? The blowouts would tell you so. We discuss next on The Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.